Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome along. I used to enjoy football, but now it's terrible, and I prefer esports and tennis. I'm pretending to be Florentino Perez, everybody. Yes, it was an outrage that Osasuna were allowed to steal a point from Real Madrid. I mean, where even is Osasuna? I've never seen it on a map. Only real places will be allowed in the glorious European Super League, like Juventus and Arsenal. Yes, Florentino is trying to breathe life into the ESL zombie. I'm guessing that the Real Madrid president has seen Liverpool in action recently, which is why he wants to play them 59 times. Other boring and pointless wastes of time in La Liga this weekend, including Girona 3, Real Sociedad 5, predictable, Getafe 2, Valladolid 3, and Espanyol 2, Valencia 2. Now, that one was particularly entertaining because there was a late twist where the goalkeeper forgot that he could use his hands. It's going in the goal, mate. I mean, by all means, just watch it, but you might want to do something. Right, I just need to check. Has Lopetegui gone yet? No. Okay. So he needs Sevilla to get a move on if he's going to get that Wolves job. They love a boring country, Wolverhampton. Right team. All of which means that Barca are top of the league. I'm told that it was June 2020 was the last time that they led La Liga properly. Can Laporta please explain to the British government how to pull those economic levers, maybe sell off the next 50 years of revenue from Strictly Come Dancing? We also need some cash, please. Patreon.com/LTEL. Thanks to Bernie and to Ryan, our most recent joiners, our most recent patrons. We need more, so get involved. Paul Campbell is one of them. He says, what a game week for La Liga, especially epitomising why we all love the league. He's also an Atleti fan, which is a clue to why he's enjoyed this weekend's football. So Florentino has been piping up again. I mean, he makes all the same points that he made before. He made the point that American sport is doing well. What American sport does, of course, is make sure that the competitions are nice and even, because they actively encourage the weaker teams, which doesn't necessarily fit with the sort of general American philosophy, but makes for an interesting competition. Whereas I think Florentino is the opposite, and then they want stacked up in the big club's favour. But because football is a wonderful sport, Terry, every now and again, Osasuna or somebody else can come along and get themselves something against Real Madrid. And they deserved it. It was a classic how to play football against a really strong team.
Yeah, and to me, it I wouldn't say it wasn't a surprise, because Real Madrid have been in such good form and they're an awesome team at the moment. But I think Osasuna, after that result, just checking, are in sixth position. And all season, they're one of my favourite teams, to be honest, because we know what their budget is compared to Real Madrid. But we that team has a style, it has an identity, it has a spirit amongst them that will always make them tough to beat. And that's just the nature of the team that Arrasati has assembled. It's a well-run football club, manager that's improved as the years have gone on, and it's a really good fit. So it was never going to be a cakewalk for Real Madrid. And rarely games are in this league now. You know, the days of the 5-0s and the 6-0s on a regular basis. We'll talk about Barcelona a bit later, away to Mallorca. Those days are few and far between now. You know, this is a really good competitive league. And Osasuna are a really good football team. So for them to go and get the draw, it was always going to be a tall order. But they achieved it with relative ease, to be perfectly honest. Even down to 10 men, they got themselves organised and made sure they were still defensively sound. They carried a threat on the break and scored a good goal from Kike Garcia. I mean, the goal they conceded, I mean, Real Madrid didn't create that many chances, and the goal they conceded was quite lucky.
Lucky, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that went in. I thought that someone might have touched it, but Herrera just misjudged it. It happens. You know, that Brais Mendes scores a similar goal as well, where he crosses it from a free kick and it finds its way in. I've always stressed the importance of that delivery, whether it's from open play or across those in-swinging crosses, where goalkeepers are anticipating maybe someone's going to get a touch, Herrera, maybe someone's offside, that little split second, and it sometimes it does.
The goalkeepers' union, you could argue that should have been offside, couldn't you? He hesitates because of the offside players.
Yeah.
So therefore, in the old interpretation, when you were playing, that was obviously offside, wasn't it?
Interfering with play.
Now they say, oh, Rudiger was nowhere near it. The goalkeeper would have had time to readjust. So now, under today's rules, it's a goal.
Yes.
But if I was a goalkeeper, I'd say it's unfair on the goalkeeper because he had to hesitate.
I wouldn't disagree with that. But I as you say, in the current laws of the game, when you look at it on the replay, he was too far away to get near the ball. He didn't really make a significant attempt to touch the ball, but it does, that split second, it does create a little bit of uncertainty with the goalkeeper with how he's going to deal with what should have been a routine, the ball was bouncing and go across and see it out. So there was, but Osasuna were great. Real Madrid, I wouldn't like to make too many complaints about Real Madrid's performance. First 20 minutes, I thought they were excellent and started the way a game should be started. When you're on the front foot and you're the home team, you are the better team. And I thought it was inevitable that they were going to score. So then for 20 minutes, they were really good. Then it evened out. They got the fortunate goal and weren't able to hold on in the second half for long before Osasuna got the equaliser. And from then on, there wasn't much headway made by Real Madrid, to be honest. So Ancelotti made changes. He said he's going to rotate this year. And the closer we're getting to the World Cup now, the more you're thinking, how are they going to manage this? Ancelotti has said this week that he may even consider giving the World Cup players another 3 weeks off.
Afterwards or before?
Afterwards.
Right, okay. Right.
Depending on how far they've got in the competition, because he thinks it's going to be unreasonable for them to, Real Madrid possibly will have a player that has won the World Cup. You look at who they play for.
Yeah.
Brazil and France and teams like that, Germany. Then they're going to come back and what he's saying now at the moment, it's going to be hard to resist that, though, if they come back to put them in when clearly it's going to be a two-horse race at the top of La Liga. Maybe Atletico, we'll talk about them again in a minute. It's not an unassailable gap between them and the top two, so whether they can get back into the race. But it's going to be a really even and competitive and exciting La Liga title race this year, which we didn't have last year. Because Barcelona and Real Madrid clearly are the two best teams at the moment, and they're not losing many points.
Benzema missed the pen. What was his general return like?
I think no complaints. I think it was okay by his standards. It was okay. I think he's entitled to one okay game on his return from injury. It's a must that he plays. He looked confused with a penalty. I don't think he should have took it, to be honest. I think the two that he missed last season against the same goalkeeper confused him and he didn't really have any sort of plan, did he? Just hit it and hoped and lifted it and it hit the bar, and Herrera got won that little battle of nerves over the two players. So probably on that circumstances, Benzema would have been wise enough to have said, but he wanted the goal. He wanted to win the game.
And he backs himself, doesn't he? Yeah.
But the way he took it, it didn't look like he backed himself. It was just like basically a player running up and kicking the ball towards goal and hoping. And it was a horrible penalty. Osasuna were lucky on that count that sent the penalty led to David Garcia being sent off, and he's such a key player for them. So for them to tighten up and regroup again after losing him, getting away with Benzema missing the penalty, they deserved a little bit of luck. They were excellent.
Yeah. And it was a red card as well, wasn't it? It was.
Yeah, once you're in that position, it was a foul. Clear foul.
And he shoved him. I mean, it wasn't. Yeah, fair enough.
There was another red card this week then. I wasn't too sure about, but the Betis one, we'll come to that.
Right, okay, later. Yeah. Yes. Okay, let's do Mallorca-Barca, though. So Barcelona, top of the league, which I didn't go through, so I just found someone else telling me it was June 2020. So it's been a long time. And Lewandowski with showing us, you know what, he's good, that Lewandowski, Terry.
Yeah, I know. Robert Lewandowski being Robert Lewandowski. Yeah. The goal, I was sitting there watching it and I did swear when I saw it, when I described it. I was sitting there on my own as well. But, it wasn't even a chance. It was a chance to cross the ball, wasn't it? A little bit of movement, a little bit of combination play. Him and Ansu Fati, the ball's out wide on the left. 99 players out of 100 in that position are looking to get a crossing. But no, he cuts back and then wraps his foot around it and it seems perfect to beat the keeper. Everything about that was... that when we talk about the top class, world-class players, they score goals, the strikers, they score goals out of nothing where it's not even a chance. You know, he's not relying on, in that situation, not relying on being gifted an opportunity by a teammate. Hanging around waiting for service like I did, he just suddenly just burst into action and makes up a chance and a goal at literally out of nothing.
Yeah,
and that game didn't accumulate to an awful lot for Barcelona other than that goal. You know, Mallorca again. The example I'd use about Osasuna, they're well drilled, they're well coached, they get numbers back behind the ball, they have a game plan. We know what it is. It's a back five. It's midfield players sitting deep. Launch the ball to Marici and hope that he can get hold of it and allow players to join up. There's no shame in that when you're Mallorca and it worked for them and they did it really well.
Yeah, and you've got that guy to blame to do it. 13
shots playing that way, three on target. Barcelona had 11 shots, three on target. So Barcelona dominated possession. Mallorca are happy with that. Why not? And they gave Barcelona a real run for their money. Disjointed performance from Barcelona because of Balde did all right, playing at right back.
Right, okay.
Maybe there's a solution there.
I'll ask you that. I've got two questions on this. One is from Philip, which is Balde Barcelona's best fullback?
I saw that tweet. Yeah, probably a bit too soon to say that. But if he can play right back as well, it does open up the gap for. We've got three left backs.
Yeah.
Alaba, Alonso, Balde. So if one of them, why couldn't they, is out injured? Why Araujo is out injured?
Yeah.
Then it may, you know, allow Alonso and Jordi Alba.
Yeah.
And Balde to play it right back. One of the three could possibly do it. So Balde was tried in this game and it worked, to be honest. He looked comfortable there. He looks really good, another good young player to go with Gavi, to go with Pedri as well. It's an Ansu Fati. It's despite all this money that Barcelona has spent. They're still
part of their
to
identity,
the
isn't it? Yeah, still part of their identity, Barcelona. Yeah. Absolutely crucial, isn't it? Yeah.
So players missing, a game like that is one that can win you the league.
Yeah. Whether
your best. Been away on international duty, some setbacks in terms of injured players, shuffling the team about a bit. I think word has to go to PK as well. But PK looked good. For when you're that age, obviously 35, I think, and you're not playing, to maintain that level of fitness to come in and play a game.
Yeah.
And he did it really well. So I know he's got the people that are willing, want to see the back of him. And I know, you know, in general football terms, he's not particularly well-liked. I envy, I guess, and his lifestyle.
He's taken the battle. You can't take the battle to Real Madrid and they're a bit rude.
And by the Copa del Rey, it bought the Super Cup and the TV rights for French football in Spain and organising the fixture list. What else has he done? Cheated on Shakira, allegedly. it doesn't make him a popular guy, but in terms of his football, I thought he was really good at the weekend. Yeah. There's no weaknesses there at the back against a really difficult opponent. It was an important job he had. He did it well. You can argue maybe they didn't bring the ball out the back as good as they should have done, but primarily his job was to focus on keeping the clean sheet. And a couple of times they needed Ter Stegen, who's in, I have to say, back to his best. He's making some good saves this year, and their goal against record is ridiculous.
Good, isn't it? Yeah,
just the one.
And it's a bit paradoxical, isn't it? Because you tend to assume that's the weakest part of their game. I guess it's the old adage, isn't it? If you're attacking, then you're not conceding.
And got the ball.
Yeah.
I think there's more an emphasis now on keeping the ball. So it starves opponents of the opportunities to dictate the game, to have a sustained period of attacking play. But with all the changes they've made in that back four, it's astonishing to think they've only conceded the one goal against Real Sociedad.
Yeah. So Inter coming up in the week, isn't it? Which is, I mean, Inter aren't in great form, but a fascinating game, an important game, given that they lost away to Barcelona. They famously lost at Inter, didn't they? Around their peak in 2010.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
2010, wasn't it, when they...
Yep.
When they went on the bus.
Yeah.
So
the volcanoes in Iceland.
Yeah, yes. prize to anyone who can tell us the name of the volcano without looking it up. So there won't be, it was unpronounceable, wasn't it? There won't be any, it doesn't seem, there's no defensive plan, is there? There's no, we go and shut up shop, because they didn't do that in Munich, so they won't do that in Milan.
Definitely not. No, but I think they'll play exactly the same way. And probably wise too in these circumstances. Probably helps them the first game. I know it's not too late a match, but it's back-to-back games against Inter. Mm. And I think it does help them that the first game is away. It's Tuesday night, isn't it? They are away, aren't they, the first
game? Yeah.
Yes, Inter away, yeah. Tuesday night. I think the first game away does help. And it will give them some idea what they have to do in the home game. They've also got Bayern at home. So this could go either way, this group, though, because Inter, Bayern and Barca are three big teams. And, you know, Barcelona got to play Bayern at home. They've got Inter twice. Anything can happen. This Barcelona could top the group. They could finish third back in the Europa League. So this is a crucial game. Tough group and a really, really crucial game for Barcelona. So I think Xavi will play the Barcelona way. He probably wished, though, that he had seen PK playing. Will he play again Tuesday? Probably not, but he probably should. But whether he's going to be able to or not, I don't know, which means Eric Garcia comes in. So that back four is done well in La Liga. Let itself down against Bayern. Two quick goals in quick succession. Both goals were avoidable, particularly the first one from the set piece. So they're going to have to be rock solid again against Inter. It's all well and good. It's great having this defensive record in La Liga, but they've got to continue that in the Champions League if they want to progress to the knockout stages.
All right, where do we go next? And we got probably to the third best team in Spain, I guess. There is Athletic Club of Bilbao.
Yeah.
Those two guys, given that one of them's Ghanaian and one of them's Spanish, those two Williams fellas link up really well, don't they? And we were talking early on.
It's not a relationship, isn't it?
we were talking early in the season about nerves at home. And that whole anxiety, and they couldn't score a goal. But far from that now, 4-0 against Almeria, very impressive.
And do you know what? They've become really enjoyable to watch. Friday night, Athletic Club on the mate as the first game of the weekend, must watch. I looked forward to the game to see how their progress was going to be. They gained this confidence from scoring in away matches, didn't they? Then they started scoring goals at home. And it's amazing how much difference can make with the same group of players.
Yeah.
And when you look at the fundamentals that he's changed, under Marcelino, there's no complaints under Marcelino. They were a hard team to beat. They were hardworking. They had all the attributes you expect from Athletic Club. And the supporters appreciated that. You know. But then Valverde comes in and he takes out one of the midfield players who's a holding midfield. So Marcelino was playing with two holding midfield. And Ventidor is a player I really admire. Regular listeners to the podcast know that I think he's a super footballer. So it's a shame he's been left out. But another one has come in Sanset. And Sanset is an attacking, creative midfielder alongside Dani Garcia. So that's the little change there. But it's a positive outlook from the coach, where, you know, all we heard under Marcelino was everyone banging on about Iñaki Williams can't score and won't score, and the Athletic Club are lacking a big striker. So Marcelino, in general, played Raúl García up front, who might do well to get somewhere near double figures. It was a focal point. It dictated the way they played. They played the ball long and hoped that he would be a general nuisance, which he's good at. But now, suddenly, you're looking at Athletic Club, and this positive outlook that's been achieved under Valverde in such a short time is all around the stadium now. They're suddenly looking at a team that want to go forward. The fullbacks are pushing forward. Sanset is making such a difference, because I thought he was a really promising young player. And then he had this period where he was playing as a centre forward. And in my opinion, I wasn't sure whether he was a regular, dynamic, box-to-box midfielder or maybe a number 10. And it's almost hard for those number 10s to get their position in the team. Munyain is playing there now. I'm doing it superbly well. So it'd been hard. So to see him play as a dynamic box-to-box midfield player alongside Danny Garcia, who's holding and playing the responsible role, it really has added a different dimension to Athletic Club. And Santa is scoring goals, he's creating chances. And then you've got that power, the pace and dynamism of the two Williams brothers. And suddenly they look like a team that's going to score goals. I mean, they got four in this game. It could have been another two or three. So they are really good to watch at the moment. So huge congratulations to Valverde. And it just goes to show, we talk about what difference can a manager make. Every time a manager is appointed, he wants the checkbook out, he wants to get rid of players, and he wants to buy players and completely change the group. And then that manager goes, and the next one comes in, and he goes, oh, I don't want them, and I want these players from my old club. And
yeah,
you don't get any of that with Athletic Club. So Valverde knew exactly what he was doing, working with, and he's a wise coach, a really good coach. It's the perfect fit, Athletic Club, for him. He's popular. He's already popular anyway. And he's come in and just changed the dynamic of that club completely, to the extent now that, I have to be honest, in previous years, I might not have switched on that game and watched the whole 90 minutes on Friday night.
Yeah.
You know, something else might have popped up I could do or watch. But I literally wanted to sit down and watch Athletic Club on Friday night, because they're excellent to watch at the moment. You know, and the players I've talked about, the Williams brothers, Berenguer is good, Mignon's playing out of his skin. It's, I think, Pachichi, when he's back to fitness, will make them even better as well, racing down the left flank. So everything's going in the right direction for Athletic.
It's the ultimate test for a coach, in a way, isn't it, Athletic? It's the place to go. You know, because everyone always, you know, how good is Guardiola and all of that, who always worked with his checkbook and all of that. And so all we ever know is that a coach, it's the reality for almost everybody, is you're good for that job. So, and obviously Guardiola is brilliant for the job that he's currently in, and it's worked brilliantly. But could he do it at Hartlepool and all of that? But Athletic is an interesting one, isn't it? Because you've got enough budget to keep the players, but you can't just go out and sign, that guy in Poland's good and that Slovenian left-back's good. You can't do any of that, can you? So it's fascinating.
It does help keep it tidy, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, there's a case for not endlessly chopping and changing your playing staff.
Yeah,
because all of this January transfer window and summer transfer window and the world of agents and all of that, and then you look at Athletic and you think, so is all of that pointless? It's like the whole world doesn't take the clubs anywhere in the end. Just all that running around, all that money, and you end up pretty much most clubs are worse than Athletic.
Can you imagine the strikers they would have gone through since Fernando Llorente is back up? Yeah. The amount of a normal club, regular club, would have pulled. In an attempt to find that striker, and they've had to make do with what they've got, and then now they're flourishing. Do you know what? In this form and the way they're playing with this coach, they are Champions League contenders. I was asked a question two or three weeks ago on Viva La Liga, and I'd never thought about it before, and it was the distraction. They haven't got distraction of European football. And I looked at it and I thought, do you know what? With how Sevilla are, with how Atletico are, Villarreal again, there is a case, you know, that the 38 league games and a few in the cup, that they've got a chance at the top four.
Yeah,
it'd be great to see.
Yeah, and they it's October.
Qualify for the European Super League, then.
Yes.
Yeah, he's right. Elite, but yeah. the way they play,
yeah, they're a contender.
Defenders, yeah, they're a contender if other teams falter.
Whereas Sevilla are not, are they? There's no way Sevilla are getting up there, are they? So Sevilla 0, Atletico Madrid 2. So good news for Atleti. Whistles around the stadium at the end of the game. How long? So they've got, well, they've got Dortmund, haven't they? Is it Dortmund? Yeah, they have got Dortmund, haven't they? Is that, that's right, isn't it? Yeah, in the week.
On Wednesday.
Yeah. So
a little bit of leeway today if they want to make the change, get a new manager in or a caretaker one until Wednesday. I don't know, but it's, that's the problem now. I think all these teams have got 9 games in October.
Yeah.
And so it's probably the time to do it was probably the international break, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know why. If they were going to do it, I don't know why they didn't do it. That was the time to do it. Get a manager in and, you know, give them the 9 games to get up and running. Give them maybe 4 or 5 days.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Find somewhere to live and stuff like that. Basically, things we forget about.
Yeah.
You know, find somewhere to sleep, get your head down and
unless he's already been at the club, which we'll get to in a moment. Sometimes with it, even if you, I mean, we've discussed Lopetegui many times and you've told us that your frustrations with him as a coach. But
yes.
Even if you were a fan of a coach, Chris Wilder at Middlesbrough, for example, I loved him when he was at Sheffield United. There just comes a point sometimes where the situation has overtaken and everyone's lost faith. He walks around like he's miserable with a long face, Lopetegui. I mean, he always did anyway, to be fair, didn't he? But it just seems untenable now, doesn't it? It doesn't seem as if you can turn it around.
That's the big... I don't think it's possible for him to turn it around, though. Yeah. I really don't. So I think that's when the time has to come. Now, it could have been done at the end of last season. It could have been done in the international break. I'm not sure why Monchi is making a real pig's ear of this season, to be honest. Yeah. I'm his biggest fan. Yeah. This year has been a real mess in terms of the incomings, the outgoings, and the manager situation, which is uncertain. And it's just the club is drifting at the moment. So it does need someone to come in and initiate a change in the whole language of the club, body language of the players. The supporters are compromised. They want to get behind the players. They all blame the manager. So it's not as if they're digging out the players, but they let their feelings be known at the end of games when their teams suffered another poor result. And I think that the change has to be made. At the weekend, again, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, what is this lineup? You know, Rekic clearly didn't want to play left back. He pulled out that old, I don't know if it was a calf or a hamstring or something, because he was playing left back. He's a centre back. Lopetegui was telling him to run, get forward more. And he's thinking, I'm a centre half. I don't run up and down the left wing. He can play left back, but not in the way that Lopetegui wanted him to. So he pulled it. I'm joking. A moody injury. And Telles came on. You're suddenly thinking, well, why didn't you play Telles?
the left back.
Attacking left back.
Yeah.
You got one. Then at half time, he changes to a back three. Gudelli goes into the back three. So it goes to a three. Navas and Telles as the wing backs. I couldn't really see a position for Isco. Isco was the only one that was shuffling around, trying to close people down, but he was doing it on his own and the other players were dropping off. There was big gaps everywhere. Oliver Torres plays, comes off at halftime. Papu Gomez goes. It just looks like a manager who's lost his way, to be honest. We've seen it in a few of his team selections recently where he's changing them so much that no one... It does now look like a team, but that's got no direction.
So Sam,
and it does need a change.
Sam Paoli has been linked to it.
I'm surprised at that. Yeah. I heard Pochettino at one stage about a month ago.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a good move for Pochettino. But Sam Paoli, I kind of had to look back at his history and recollect how he did at Sevilla, because all I remember is that blistering start where the first game, I think it was 6-something, wasn't it?
6-4 against Espanyol.
6-4. And we're all like, oh, this looks like it's going to be fun. But he only lasted the year. Did he go to Argentina straight from Sevilla? I don't think he got a sack, did he? I think he went to another job. And then the Argentina one where he's lost a little bit of credibility, wasn't it? Became a bit of a laughing stock, to be honest, because allegedly the players just took over the team. Running a bit. They struggled to qualify for the World Cup. He got them there. And then when they were there, there was a bit of a rebellion.
So would you get Pochettino if you could? Is that the obvious move to do?
either of those two, I think. I thought, you know, I heard him linked with it, and I thought that would be a good fit. But actually, with the players that Sevilla got, with the direction that they've been going with Lopetegui, it's almost like, would Pochettino be that man? He's not Sampaoli, is he? Sampaoli might be being brought in.
The energy.
He does appear.
Yeah.
Because of the energy and because of, you know, to try and be more attack-minded, which is what the Sevilla supporters want. So that might be the reason, as Pochettino might still be a little bit Lopetegui, if you like. You know, he can be quite rigid in his setup. I don't think he was known at Spurs and Southampton for being an outstanding manager, but he wasn't known for being all guns blazing, and you know, which is what I think Sevilla and Munchie are probably looking for, hence their choice. We're saying their choice, it's paper talk at the moment, but it does appear that they have been talking to Sampaoli, so that it'd be interesting. It just needs to change. It really does.
Right, where should we go next? Girona 3, Real Sociedad 5. Just as Florentino tells us that football's finished and no one's interested in it anymore. Extraordinary game.
Yeah, and Rodrigo Riquelme.
Goal, that's a goal. Was. Yeah,
brilliant,
yeah.
Brilliant goal.
A little nutmeg first as well, isn't there? And then he lashes it in, doesn't he? Yeah.
In the top corner.
Yeah.
And in Sorloff, no fuss with him whatsoever, is there? His second goal on the, just before half-time. Yeah.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The volley was a chest volley. Have some of that. And then just walked back to the halfway line. And I had to check the score. I thought, are they 3-0 down or something? 2-2. So he's a, you know, minimal, no fuss, big striker. He gives them a focal point. Sadiq is injured, and that's a massive blow for them. Carlos Fernandez, pleased to see him coming back as well. I think he's a talented player that's been missing for a couple of years through terrible injuries. And we talked about that cross earlier from Vinicius that's found its way in. Bryce Mendes did exactly the same from a free kick. Zubimendi scores a goal. That tells you how strange and crazy this game was. But Girona got to be careful. You know, they're doing all right. 7 points. It's a newly promoted team. But I think that there are some issues there that, you know, they're going to have to deal with. The way they were conceding the goals after being, they were ahead 3-2 in the just after half-time, and then to concede three straight goals, they kind of folded a little bit towards the end of the game. So it was, it was an excellent game. Actually, yeah. 3-2 up, Girona, I fancied them to win.
Yeah,
there was a problem for Real Sociedad, but it wasn't in the end.
So another cracker was Getafe 2, Valladolid 3. So a hugely important win for Valladolid, wasn't it? And a cracking goal by Damian Suarez, which is a collector's item.
He only scores great goals, didn't he? Every goal of his, I can remember. I can remember him scoring, I think it was Athletic Club. And he went on amazing and drilled it into the top corner. So
I seem to remember one from about 40 yards as well.
Remembering
that right?
Yeah. Yes, there was. I think he's a really good personality, good character. I think he enhances La Liga. He's perfect for Getafe. For all the managers they've had, they all keep picking him. And that was a really, really good goal. Poor result for Getafe. Excellent for Valladolid. And Sergio Leon scoring. It's about time. I think he's got goals in him, but I liked him at Osasuna, and then he's drifted around Betis and stuff and never been a regular player anywhere again. And I think, given an opportunity to play on a regular basis, I think they're struggling to score, Valladolid. That's the problem. Weissman is the only one that scores goals. Sergio Guardiola does play a lot of games ahead of Sergio Leon. But Sergio Leon in this one showed, you know, he's got an eye for goals. So persevere with him. Then Plano scores a worldie to win the game for them. So excellent result for Valladolid. They're unfortunate in the game recently against Cadiz, weren't they? Really dominated. They pummeled Cadiz and then lost in the last minute. So I think just before the international break, that was their last game. So kind of poetic justice there. A bit of good fortune in this one.
Yes. And so we'll do the other really good game from the weekend, shall we? Espanyol 2, Valencia 2, which is again fun. And then the ludicrous bit of play at the end from the all that work, all that planning. And then it basically just misjudged a looping ball, didn't it? It went in the goal.
Yeah. And he's been good so far, where Fernandez. Yeah. He's taken away from Diego Lopez. He did. Just prior to that as well, which he got away with, didn't he? Because he flapped at a shot, didn't he? And it went through his hands and he just scraped it off the line. I thought it was across the line. In La Liga, they have to use VAR. Yeah. So the referee doesn't get a watch with the signals to tell him.
Yeah.
So we had to wait for VAR. He just saved it. And he kind of lost his nerve after that. If people haven't seen it, it's Ere Coma, who's 96 minute. Sergi Dada had scored a good goal. Joselu scored a good goal. Espanyol hadn't got a point at home. Valencia hadn't got a point away. There's two sendings off right at the end of the game as well. Marcos Andre, it touches the face, doesn't he? And it's Vinny Souza.
Yeah.
I'm sure you couldn't knock him over that easy. there was a little childish spat between the two, wasn't there? And then a little push and shove. Marcus Andre pushed him in the face.
Yeah.
Hangs on the face.
We've decided that, haven't we? That any push in the face.
Which is a bit.
Well, no, it's actually any push in the face in which the victim decides to fall over.
Yeah, that was the problem.
Yeah.
Because he didn't need to go down.
No.
It wasn't a knockout blow.
No.
It was a push. He pushed Andre first. Andre pushed him. Chin. His face down he went. Anyway, that so it was everything happened in the end of that game, and the goal is Coma just hoofs it back in the box, doesn't he? Hoofs it, he flicks it, he gets something on it, puts it back in the box, and he's drifting towards the top corner, looping. He pulls his arms away, doesn't he?
Yeah, but you're thinking,
he thinks it's going over,
you think it, wow, that's going in, isn't it? But he doesn't,
exactly. And I thought, has he got the sun in his eyes? Does he need a cap? But when you see the replay, he actually pulls his arms and thinks it's going over the bar. And it doesn't. So that was a crushing blow for Espanyol. They probably just shaded that, to be honest. And you look at the goals they concede. Gabriel Paulista's header from a corner. Then they concede that second goal as well. So I think Valencia were quite fortunate. Brathwaite gets a red card. Didn't really get too many angles on a replay there as he throws an arm out off the ball as he's running back. The tracker, an attacking run against the defender. So it was a bit chaotic, that game at the end.
So Celta Vigo 1, Betis 0. This is the massive red card in this one, isn't there? So Vega had scored for Celta, long range shot, hadn't he? From good goal, wasn't it? Yeah.
And he's a really, really good player.
Yeah.
So it kind of, they let Bryce Mendes go. When I say let him go, they got what they considered to be a really good money. I think it was a steal, 12 million euros. And Gabby Vega is the new young player at Celta, and he's should have been playing more. First two or three games he was outstanding, been left out, been coming off the bench in every game, in fairness to Caldet. But in this game, the goal showed his true qualities. 9th minute, so he gets a start. Brilliant goal, brilliant strike. And that turned out ultimately to be the match winner.
But then, because 20 minutes in, Betis lose a player. So are you unhappy with this red card?
Kind of, yeah. I do feel, I'm a striker, so I'd give the advantage always to you. I kind of feel there was two players either side that possibly, I didn't see it as a blatantly obvious goal-scoring chance. Strand Larsen does well, chests the ball down, turns the defender, and it's a reckless grab at the jersey that brings him down. Clear foul. But I did think there was 6 yards either side of Felipe, the two Betis players. That might have at least made it Strand Larsen rush his finish. So therefore, is it a clear goal scoring opportunity when there's no one about and you're running for a goal and you get brought down? It's a dubious one, but
yeah, it's
I just thought it was. The referee thought it was yellow, didn't he? And then VAR told him to look, and then when you see I'm still thinking on the VAR. I'm still thinking, but they're pretty. There's no one else to mark, so they've got no. They haven't got a stick with other players. They can both run in and try and block a shot or make a tackle or make him rush and finish. So I'm not sure there that you're back in Strand Larsen to finish there, which means
that's where the line is, though, isn't it?
Goal scoring opportunity.
Because I would say the dog so, as they say, denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity. If you're going to get a clear shot at goal and you get fouled, that's it, isn't it? I don't think you have to be scoring. Because then you're starting to add the quality of the player in.
Yeah, goal scoring opportunity.
Yeah, there are plenty of players who can't hit a barn door, so you can't necessarily say would he have scored, but would he have had a clear strike at goal or not, I guess is the question. A reasonable shot. Because again, anyone can shoot from anywhere, can't they? You shoot from 50 yards if you want to.
Yeah. I just thought it was a close one.
Yeah.
Some of them are obvious. But in this case, I thought, could they possibly? They would have got across, and it would have been hard work for him to get away and get a clear shot at goal.
Set back for Betis, wasn't it? So we just stick the table up for the Patreons. There we are from Soccer Base. Actually, Soccer Base isn't always right because they don't get head to head; they just do it on goal difference, which doesn't matter at this point of the season. But they're still fourth. They're still in a good position.
Yeah. 5 wins, 2 defeats. That's a good return. A setback. Celta can be a decent team on their day. I wouldn't say it was a major surprise that Betis didn't pick up anything in that game. Celta, a decent team, made some good signings. And, I think it was always going to be a tough game for Betis. But 20 minutes in, down to 10 men, made it really, really tough for them.
So, Cadiz, Terry, you've got a point at home, but not a goal.
Villarreal. I've only got one goal all season.
Villarreal, it's a bad result for them, isn't it? I forgot to watch this game, if I'm honest, and I couldn't bring myself to go back and watch it.
Yeah, no, that happens, doesn't it? When you sometimes those 3:15 kickoffs we can't watch.
Yeah,
and then you see the score and you think, I'll catch the highlights later. And this one, you didn't miss much at all. I'm surprised at the starting lineup for Villarreal. We're getting the conference, the European matches, where he's playing the reserves and the first team playing in La Liga. And then this one, I'm sure what was happening. He started with Nico Jackson and Alex Baena up front. Nico Jackson's been good, but I'm not sure he's a centre forward. Alex Baena appears to be an attacking midfielder. There was no Yemi Pino, no Chukwueze, no Denjuma, and no Morales. They were all on the bench. So they did have chances. They created Coquelin played on one side, flank Lo Celso on the other. It just looked a bit of a weird lineup for me. It lacked that when you're going to go to Cadiz, only scored one goal. You're going to dominate. You're going to have more chances. Then pick the players that you.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yourself to finish or create more chances than like Chukwueze and Jeremy Pino. Be a little bit more daring than...
Because they're not in action.
And Coquelin wide on the left and play Jeremy Pino on the left or Chukwueze or, Moreno is missing. There is doubts now he's going to be fit for the World Cup, which isn't a major surprise because he's barely been able to.
Yeah.
Last season was very similar, wasn't it? He keeps picking up injuries. They're different injuries, but does keep getting injured. So I think there's doubts now whether he's actually going to be fit for the World Cup. Not whether Luis Enrique will take him, but I don't think it does appear now there's a doubt over whether he's actually going to be fit for that. So that means he's going to be missing for a while for VRL. So they might have to do some action in the transfer window in January, I think, in order to beef up their centre-forward position again.
Rayo Vallecano versus Elche is this evening. We've done all the other games, haven't we? So
I panicked then. I missed that one.
What a game, Terry. Rayo versus Elche. What an amazing thing that happened in that game.
I will watch it, of course.
Yes, so that hasn't been played, so we can't tell you about that game yet. Right, but we obviously we'll be back for the Patreon, so we'll be we're going to record Thursday because you're off to Spain, aren't you? Friday.
Yeah. We didn't mention Atletico though. We went in and some thoughts on Atletico. We did the Sevilla Atletico match and featured on Sevilla. Yeah. Atletico, Savage and Jimenez back, and he goes to a back four.
Yes.
And you go, oh, now, perhaps he plays a three when they're not playing together. He doesn't trust two people to do the job that those two do.
Yeah.
And my goodness, Atletico, that's why I said in the beginning of the podcast, they could make a claim if he sorts his team out.
Yeah.
You know, and we talk about the lack of quality in the centre-backs, but when those two play, Atletico look like an Atletico team. Reinildo and Molina look solid at the back as well. Fitzer went back into midfield.
Yeah.
Which gave Koke the opportunity. I've been critical of Koke. It gave Koke the opportunity to show at the age of 30 that he can still run around because he's been asked to play that holding midfield role and he just sits there, doesn't do anything, plays the ball simple, slows it down too much. Witzel's better at that job than Koke, but Koke put in a really good shift. I think he becomes one of the highest appearance players for Atletico. It was a significant milestone for him. Tremendous footballer, played really well in this game. Saul played well as well. So even the midfield had a sort of familiar Atletico look about it. So Koke, Saul, Witzel holding. And the big difference was, I thought, it's been described as a 4-5-1. I thought Llorente played up front on the right wing and Cunha played up front on the left. They dropped in when they didn't have the ball, so it became a 4-5-1. But Llorente, that we saw that, didn't we, when he played in a more attacking role. That he has an end product, scored a great goal. Morata scored a good goal as well. But this suddenly, you know, Getafe, the first game of the season, and this game, suddenly you look at Atletico and you think, yeah, they could still push the top two. But we've got to see this on a regular basis, both those centre-backs being fit and Simeone picking a starting lineup that is in this fashion. So it's more like a traditional Atletico game. Sorry about that. I jumped in my legs. I did make some notes on them. We did mention them on the Sevilla. The focus was on the Sevilla.
Yeah.
But Atletico were really good in this game.
Yeah. Well, I like to focus on the negative, Terry. And so it's just more fun that way. Right. So we'll be back for the Patreons with European roundup, Champions League roundup, because we'll do it Thursday with all due disrespect to Thursday night in Europe. Thank you for your support to the Patreons. Thank you for listening to everybody else. We're back with a regular podcast next week. So we'll see you for that. Bye-bye.